Sean, we're doing The Last Starfighter this show, not Star Wars.
Oops. Okay, hold on. 1 second. Here we go. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Throwback Reviews Podcast. This is the show where the three of us rewatch movies from the 70s and 80s and then get together once a week and kind of BS and review these things, not so seriously, but it's more to have a good time and revisit the movies. Some of us haven't seen all the movies, some of us have, some of us love them and now possibly don't like them anymore, and that's pretty much what the show is about, just a good time. Hanging out, watching old movies. This week's episode, we did The Last Starfighter from 1984. So before we get into that, my name's Sean, and with me is my buddy, door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin. What's up, Dor?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good, and I'm definitely looking forward to this week.
Well, that's good, because I think in past weeks you weren't looking forward to those movies so much.
No, I was always looking forward to them, just this time I'm rubbing my hands looking forward to them.
All right. I'm not sure what that means,
I guess
we'll find out. And our other host here is Steve Cherubino. What's up, Steve?
What's up, guys? How's it hanging?
It's hanging good. Are you looking forward to this episode?
Yeah, definitely. I'm always looking forward to them.
Well, that's good. It was a good movie that we had picked here. I think this was kind of like a geek staple movie, kind of, I guess you would say, because of the video game and then just the space and kind of Star Wars-ish. But I'll tread lightly on the Star Wars.
I liked it better than Star Wars.
I'm sure you did. Did you even see Star Wars?
Yeah.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it a bunch of times.
You seen the new ones?
Yeah. Do you want me to say anything about them?
What's that?
Do you want me to say anything else about them?
No, this isn't about Star Wars.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Good.
20-minute tangent avoided.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've heard it all before from many people. So, and I'm not a lover of the newer ones, but I'm not a hater of them either. So, but I'm definitely an original trilogy guy. And I don't want to go... I don't want to get too deep into the likenesses that I found in this movie with Star Wars, but there was definitely scenes where I'm like, okay, that's very Star Wars-ish. But even that being said, it doesn't mean that I didn't like this movie. This movie was great. I mean, I liked it as a kid. I liked it now.
Did you say the name yet?
Yeah, The Last Starfighter.
Oh, sorry.
I know, Dor. I did that 2 episodes ago.
I know. It's like you cursed me.
Yeah, the Die Hard episode. But now I lost my train of thought. But anyways, yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing with this podcast. I've said it before. It's all fun. We're not serious critics here. I mean, we're just average guys watching some movies. So anything we say about it, take it very lightly. Don't take it very seriously. Even if we hate a movie or bash on it, it's all in good fun.
But you should respect our opinions and agree with them all the time.
And that was Steve.
I really like this movie because there were the arcade. I mean, we're going to get into all the scenes, but I just love the fact that it was based off of an arcade game because it just indicated, it was just right up my alley. I think it was cool.
Well, I'll say that was definitely a draw for me. And it was almost a draw because there was no arcade game called this that was in existence. And if now looking back, it was so obvious this was never an arcade game because of the, you know, a arcade game doesn't tell you to insert 25 cents. You know, they just say one credit.
Plus the graphics for the arcade game back then were, it would have been incredibly, it would have been stellar. It would have been like movie style animation.
Yeah, and it would have been, if they looked that good, it would have been the slowest game ever.
That's true.
But this was one of the few movies I willingly give up all laws of nature, physics, and reality and just go with the movie.
You okay, Sean?
Yeah, I have a little coughing fit. Thanks, guys. Choking on my water there. But yeah, it's just like Cloak and Dagger. You know, it's back then, I didn't know if this was really a game or not, an arcade game or anything.
Well, thank you for pointing that out, because we're not even up to our 10th episode yet, and yet we have two movies where games play a very key point in the movie.
Yeah.
And I like that, because I like video games.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that today. You know, my kids have like a couple of my old Android phones. They play on a tablet. They played a Wii and stuff like that. And it's just all taken for granted. You know what I mean? But we kind of, you know, we grew up when home systems were just, you know, coming out. I mean, the Atari came out a little bit before I was able to play. You know, I was born in 74. So when it came out, when we got the Atari, it was already out for a little bit. But it was like, we've seen it grow.
Yeah.
You know, now kids just expect everything.
Well, and like our, what we called portable gaming, they, I don't think, would spend 2 seconds on. They would become so bored with it so quickly.
Yeah.
What do we call portable gaming? I mean, like
LED football.
Oh, that stuff. Oh, give me a break. I know. It was pathetic, but we played for hours, didn't we?
But, and I'm the dork who, if I could find one for like $30 or less, I'd buy it. I'd pwn it, too.
No way.
I'll
play the computer-emulated version or something.
I've got a... it's at my mother's. It doesn't work. And I actually posted it in the Retroist forum. Someone was asking about old electronics from when you're a kid. And we had... It was a Space Invaders game. And it was a handheld at the time, had like three yellow buttons, you know, left, right, I think, arrows and your fire button. And it just popped down just like Space Invaders would, kind of a purplish color to it, the lights on it. And then I had a little car racer where you had a little steering wheel. You had I think you had forward or reverse or high, low, something like that. And the track was basically probably just like a tape.
A wheel.
That would cycle through it, and you would hear, and you would spin this wheel to make your car that was on a little clear plastic kind of shift. Yeah, shifting over. So
I know. I had one of those, too. I loved it. I took it apart and hacked it. I played with the motor. Did all kinds of stuff. I loved that thing.
Yeah, see, I mean, we grew up in a great time for that. You know, I mean, I don't think kids now have...
Oh, come on, we're starting to sound old now. I mean, no, just like, oh, kids these days take it for granted. Come on, I don't think that's true. No. I think that kids are going to, you know, your kids are going to grow up and be like, yeah, well, we just had mobile gaming coming out when we were growing up. Now you guys have like virtual space gaming or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like, and they're going to blame them for taking it for granted.
Oh. And I will say my oldest will, when I use the Atari emulator on the Wii, he'll play. Or if I, you know, I'm playing Galaga on the MAME emulator or something, he will get into it and play. It's more.
Does he say like this game seems so old or anything like that?
He knows, but he kind of likes the stuff from when I, you know, knowing that it was something I liked as a kid and I still like. He's very, you know, nostalgic that way for me.
Yeah.
You know, TV shows or whatever. So
well,
that's cool.
And it's me and him time.
Well, I'll just say for people listening to the podcast, when this podcast is over, YouTube search Illuma Room, like illumination Illuma Room. It's a Microsoft technology for gaming that it's not going to shock me if in 6-7 years it's the norm. And then, you know, 30 years from now, kids are like, oh, yeah, I remember when that just came out. And it's really cool stuff.
Is it a whole room? You walk into a room and it's just the walls are like pretty much lit up?
No, what it basically is a projector that projects around your TV, the wall behind your TV and around your TV, and it expands your television viewing experience outside the TV. Some of it is limited. Some of it is like interactive. Like there's one where you're playing a 3D shooter, and when you shoot, it makes it look like your room is rippling from the blow of the gun.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just crazy. You just got to look it.
Well, if I remember, I'll throw it. I'll put it in the link in the posting. But I probably won't remember.
That's okay. We're old.
But I'll try. But I'll try. Yeah, we're old. So anyways, enough about us and our gaming and our kids not caring and being spoiled. Let's get on with The Last Starfighter. Opening to this movie, we're in the Starlight, Starbright.
Before we do trailer. That, man, I did make a note. Even before the Starlight, Starbright trailer, they hit us all. They hit us right in the beginning with the music, the full theme song and everything. And that's one of the things I really liked about this movie. Like the chorus of the theme song, the music was great. Just really hits you emotionally, I think. For me, anyway.
I like the music as well, yeah.
It definitely set the mood.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. It did play out as well, so it was it was definitely a nice intro. I think we talked about that too with movies of back then that had that. It wasn't just kind of something short and getting right into the movie, so yeah, good point. That was nice. But then we do get to the Starlight Starbright,
which is a great name.
And it seems like the whole trailer park all wakes up at the same time, all starts their day at the same time. They're all so happy and cheery and, well, except for Elvira. But so that was kind of funny. And even though Back to the Future was after this, now I'm seeing, you know, in the beginning of Back to the Future when Marty gets to Doc Brown's house and everything, the clocks start going and the news comes on and to feed Einstein all the dog food and everything because Otis feeds his dog.
Right.
I don't know, because there was clocks going and you hear news. Basically, the whole trailer park just waking up.
Right. Yeah. It was a little bit cheesy.
And
it was cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. We meet Alex's mom. She's the manager of the actual trailer park. Plus,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it says right on her trailer manager. Plus, she's asking because we get to that where, you know, after everyone or Olivia or Elvira, the older lady, is having a fit that she's not going to be able to watch her shows or programs. Yeah, her soaps. They should have said programs. I don't know why I like that. Reminds me of my grandma saying programs.
Like Murder, She Wrote is a good program, right?
Yeah, I got to watch my programs.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'll say, I love this lady who is Elvira. We will mention this same actress in a soon coming episode. I'm sure of it. I'll just say that.
All right. And so we have like the chain of events, chain of people, her telling the getting back to, Alex's mom, who's the manager. And so she sends, Alex, cause we haven't met Alex yet, but Alex is the main character. And we meet his little brother, Lewis, who's got his, space helmet on or something, and he's shooting at everybody. We meet his girlfriend, Maggie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she tells his little brother, go get Alex, he's got to fix the electric or whatever, and he's up playing. This is where we meet, Lewis goes up and we meet, Alex, who's playing the Starfighter game. And obviously the mother kind of hints at he's always up there when Mags asks where he's at, where else would he be? And they all know, okay, he's up there playing the Starfighter. And then we kind of get, I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny scene where all his friends come pulling up because they're supposed to go to the lake, Silver Lake.
Right.
You know, they're come tearing up and she's all happy and they're going to go to the lake for the day. But of course he's getting a call from his mom that he's got to fix the electric and, you know, so he's kind of bummed out.
Why did you think that's funny that they just pulled up in a truck?
Because they did not seem bummed out at all that he couldn't go.
Exactly. Fine. Bye.
Yeah, they were, and there was a guy in the back of the truck, man. His face looked so familiar. I can't place what movie I've seen him in back in the 80s, but I didn't do a lot of research, but he was a real douchebag anyways. You could just tell they didn't really seem to care, because Alex even tells him, he's looking in the mail for some mail, and he's telling him he's not going to be staying in this town. He's going to go and do bigger and better things. He's not going to stay there. And
but he also rubs it in their face. Like, he's like, I'm not going to stay here like all you guys.
Yeah.
So,
and get drunk every Saturday night. I'm going to go do something.
Yeah, but they didn't seem like they were very offended.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They kind of were like, yeah, so then you suck. Like, they were completely happy with that's the way their lives were going to go. And to Mags's credit, she didn't want to go. She was going to stay, and he was just kind of like, you know, go.
Yeah, and then, of course, she was going to say something, and he pulled off. She was just starting to say, oh, Alex, and boom, truck took off.
What do you think she was going to say, Dor?
I'm hot for you. You'll see me naked tonight. I don't know.
I think this scene says a lot for Alex's character, because he could have jumped in that truck.
Oh yeah,
but I think they were setting him up as like the guy who's going to do the right thing.
The honorable guy.
I don't think it was that he could have jumped the truck. He could have, because she was going to stay, and he could have been like, okay, you know, stay here while I work and don't have fun. But he was like, just go.
Or also, like, Mom, tell Elvira I left already. You know, you could have said that. And then jumped in the truck.
Yeah, well, then
I probably would have did that.
As they're pulling off to go to Tashi Station, you know, and Luke's got to stay behind on the moisture farm to fix the droids.
Yeah.
You hear multiple people saying, Alex, you know, this isn't working. I need your help. Kind of like showing you, like, he's going to have a long day of fixing stuff. But, you know, I like how and then they cut to the scene where he's in his bedroom and he's staring at the galaxy model hanging from his ceiling, staring at the Twin Suns and wishing to be somewhere else. And listening to the old timers outside his window. He just knows word for word for word.
I love that. And I loved how he was spinning around in his chair slowly, like he was flying around the planets and getting different viewpoints of them. He was there. You know what I mean? He basically let himself go. And yes, he could repeat everything those old people said verbatim. He knew what they were going to say before they even said it. They said it so often.
Yeah. And that's why he wants to get out of there. It's just stale. You know, it's just, it's the same thing all the time. You know, just, and not because of the trailer, probably could be this town or that town. You know, typical movies where the guy just, you know, they want to get out. They don't want to be in this town. They want to go see something bigger.
Well, yeah. And it looked like to me there was nothing around that trailer park. There's like a little gift shop out front, a little liquor store, one arcade game, and then hills and cactuses. I mean, nothing.
I agree. Which actually was pretty beautiful scenery they had for a trailer park. But also, yeah, they were in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, for a kid, not so beautiful. For a kid, very boring.
Yeah.
Well, is that in Was that in Nevada? I know that Centauri mentions Las Vegas at a point, but
well, his license plate said Nevada.
Okay.
What, the trucks?
No, his Rylos tag on his space car jet plane ship thing was Nevada.
All right. Well, we'll get to that in a second here, because you know, after he's done all his chores and fixed everything, you know, he's.
He has to release.
So we cut to him playing the Starfighter game again and, you know, kind of complaining to Otis, who seems to be another resident handyman there. So he's kind of complaining to him. And as he's playing, of course, this is when Mags comes back hours later at night with this Blake character. And so he drops her off, and you could tell he's a little jealous, but I think it was more he was just, I mean, he was a little jealous because he's like, you know, Blake doesn't live on this side.
Yeah.
But how's she going to get home anyways?
Yeah.
You know, but I think he was just ticked off because he was at home all day working and she got to go have fun.
And
so
she's hot. And she was out with another guy.
Yeah. So they're talking. He starts just jamming on Starfighter, and she's kind of noticing his points are just going up and up and up and up. And
best part of the movie.
Oh, cheesy, but
exactly, because Otis turns around and says, "He's gonna bust the record. Come on, he's gonna bust the record." Nobody says bust a record, and nor would anyone in the trailer park even care if he's getting a high score. Yet, because everybody comes out to watch Alex bust the record.
He says, "Hey, everybody." And that's what I thought. I'm like, oh, man. You know, everyone in the trailer park's just like, this. All they have to do is to watch Alex play Starfighter.
And the best part is when the mother ship or the command ship comes out and the two old ladies like, or the one lady's like, "Oh, the command ship." And the other one's like, "What's a command ship?"
Yeah.
But the fact that even one said, "Oh, my God, the command ship." I'm like, no way. how many grandmas care about a command ship in a video game?
Yeah. And
I thought it was funny.
And I did like his little brother basically like charging it, screaming, "Give him air, give him some room to breathe."
Yeah.
It was kind of Tron-ish.
Yeah.
Like in Tron, when Flynn is, you know, everyone's all around him at the arcade, and they're all crowding when he's going to beat Tron or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
But, so does he beat it, or is he beats the game, right? He doesn't just beat a high score. He actually beats the game. Like,
that's the impression they give.
Defeats I'm assuming, Conan,
I guess,
Armada.
Once you hit 1,000,000, I guess that's pretty much the end of the game, it seemed. Cause he was at 900,000 and he was cranking on it. And then the command ship came out. He blew it up. He hit like a nondescript part of it. I didn't quite understand. It.
Very
it
nondescript like the bottom part with one shot. Dead.
With one shot. And once the command ship blew up, he turned around and cheered, so the game was over.
Right. Now, what we didn't see was him putting in his name for high score, which, and this is what I mean, like, the inaccuracy of the video game itself is amazing, yet I let it all go away because I don't care.
Me too.
Alex,
that was too awesome.
Alex beat it. He busted a record.
That was awesome.
No, yeah, it was all good, man. It's funny.
Well, and I loved immediately after that, they cut, and I guess it was supposed to be like 10 minutes afterwards or such, where he's sitting there with his arm around his girl, just staring up into space like, I did it. I just beat that game.
Isn't that when he tells her, too, like, he's getting out of there? And he's going to bring her with him. Like, they're both going to get out of there.
She was all kind of upset. She really realized at that point that he was not going to stick around that town.
Well, I mean, he just beat Starfighter. What can hold him back now?
That's true. I know. I don't know what really spurred that on. But I guess she saw it in his eyes. So he went and handled the situation. Be like, "Yo, we're sticking together. If I'm out of here, you're out of here."
Yeah. And then that's when he goes back to his trailer, right? And his mom tells him about the letter that she got at work from the guy, but probably the banker, that he was denied his college entry loan.
Yeah. I've been so mad at her opening that letter up.
Are you serious?
Oh, Mom, come on. Don't, you know, I want to open it. Let me open it. It's my letter, especially a rejection letter. You know, that's personal.
Well, I don't think she didn't know it was a rejection letter.
Well, of course not.
At the time.
And my mom would have opened the letter up.
I don't know. I wouldn't hold it against her, but he was definitely, definitely bummed out. That definitely put a wrench in Alex's.
Oh, he didn't want to go to city
to,
with
yeah,
the rest
to
of the
escape.
Losers.
Yeah. So where does he end up going when he's all like bummed out about it?
Up the stairs, over by the Starfighter game. Well, first he crumples up the letter and throws it at the Starlight Starbite sign.
Yeah.
It makes an unusually loud thud for a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And then he
get the paper up that high.
And then he hears the game. First off, this is unique also for a video game back then because it said words. And it was saying stuff that I don't think he recognized. He's like, "I never heard it say that before." And
it was saying
correct
that.
Me if I'm
it was
wrong,
saying it. Oh, it was just glitching out.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. It actually looked like the game was like wobbling too. It was like.
Because it was.
Shaking.
Yeah.
Which is. That I didn't like that too much. Why would that game shake?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. But we find out basically seconds after why when the DeLorean pulls up and the...
Are you just
is it a DeLorean?
Comparing this to every movie that
Dude, it was
ever
that
made?
That was a DeLorean.
No, I don't think it was a DeLorean.
No DeLorean. It was a totally fake made-up car.
I think it was like a Chevy.
It was like a DeLorean, I'm telling you. Maybe it wasn't a specific, what, DeLorean, but that was implied to be a DeLorean.
Are you being serious? Are you just trying to compare this to Back to the Future?
I'm being totally serious at this point.
It was not a DeLorean then, to answer your question.
All right. Well, looked like one. And I would love feedback on that. Show ideas at throwbackreviews.com, but with your opinions. But anyways, the DeLorean pulls up.
Car.
and the doors open. And, you know, some guy starts talking to him from outside the car, asking who, you know, where's the person that beat this game? And, you know, Alex tells him it was him. And he's telling him, oh, step into my office. What does he do? He gets in.
I know, man.
And I mean, we talked about this before. Stranger danger, man. You don't just get into a strange car. First of all, DeLorean or not, that's a whacked out looking car. You're not going to get into that. You're not going to get into that.
Well, you know, listen, it wasn't like Centauri didn't say anything to Alex before Alex got in the car. He was asking about the game, and I think that intrigued Alex enough. If he just pulled up and said, hey, little boy, you want a piece of candy? Come into my office. Like, okay, that's one thing. But he was asking about the game. That's why it was okay in my mind that Alex went into the car.
Yeah.
Okay, I got something eerily, accidentally accurate. That car was used in Back to the Future 2 as a background prop when they were in the 2015 future setting.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing. Didn't expect that.
Nah.
I did, because I knew that.
Mm-hmm. You knew that, really?
Yep. You should listen to The Retroist as well, and you know that. I'm just kidding. But that's how I knew otherwise. But I thought it was a DeLorean anyways. It looks just like a freaking DeLorean. It looks like a freaking DeLorean, dude. Give me a
break.
But
it isn't one.
Okay. It looked like one. Anyways. So when he said that on his podcast, I was not surprised. Anyways.
It might be. I don't know.
So we meet Centauri, who is played by Robert Preston, Harold Hill in The Music Man, which you guys lucked out because it's, I think, 1960, I don't even know, 69 mm-hmm. movie, 67, something like that. So I can't make you guys do The Music Man, even though I love that movie. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you really like that movie a lot.
I do like that
62,
movie.
62, man.
Was it really? Holy cow. Yeah, because Ron Howard's in it. He's just a little tyke.
Centauri was in that, eh?
Yeah. So he gets in the car. Something's sitting next to him. Centauri has him introduce him. He introduces him as Beta, correct?
Yeah.
In the car, and he shakes his hand. And we got a little zap, which I took as that's when he was like copying his image or his DNA to
exactly
for later on use in the movie. They end up taking off, leaving, you see Beta is left behind basically from like a neck down shot or from a back point of view. And the DeLorean takes off driving. And they're talking. He's telling them, he told them like it was kind of a fluke because it was supposed to go to Las Vegas.
Right.
The game.
Right. And then, of course, he immediately says, where are we going? It's a surprise. Then he tries to ask him again, where are we going? Hey, you're not the kind that goes to the back of the book and reads the ending.
Nah.
And then, you know.
Yeah, I really liked Centauri's character. I liked how he spoke, how he acted, how quick he was. And he totally fit the character. I think that was great casting. And I don't even know who that actor is. I never saw The Music Man. Best thing about this scene, though, was number one, they're doing 300 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
Number two, Centauri never looked at the road mm-hmm. practically at all. Yep. I loved that. Every scene, he's looking back at Alex.
Right. And when he was, driving too, wasn't his hands kind of doing that thing on the stick back and forth?
Yeah.
The typical movie driving where you're moving
that
your hands
was,
back and forth.
Talk about Tron Legacy. That was the worst scene when they were doing that, when the girl was driving that truck. That's when I noticed that type of action the most.
Right.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
But not to go off on
a... And the car was straight line, perfect turns, yet he's sitting there wobbling around.
Yeah, that is great. I love that.
Yeah, and it was 303 miles an hour because the sign wobbled, and he woke up cops when he went by because they were asleep on the side of the road. I've noticed also, a lot of these movies portray almost every cop as being lazy, a joke kind of thing. I don't picture us doing a serious cop movie anytime soon. I just find it almost ironic now in hindsight. Everyone, I mean, Buford T. Justice, Die Hard, now these two buffoons sitting on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Good point.
But they end up, you know, leaving the road, and now they're in space, and they're headed towards, well, he doesn't even tell them until they get there that they're in Rylos.
Yep, and I believe the music started to kick in right when they started to see the planet or the base. And that was the other time in the movie where you started to feel empowered, like, this is big time, something's going on here.
Yeah. And then, you know, Centauri just kind of leaves him there.
Literally.
You know, because he wants to get paid. But, and then we have the girl, I think it is, that comes to get Alex. And he can't understand anything. She looks like she's a Who from Whoville and the Grinch.
Yep.
All these people do.
I know. I mean, you would think in this advanced society, they would have a solution for hair loss. But apparently, they don't.
Especially on the girls.
Yeah. It's like they're complete.
Everyone had a majorly receded hairline.
Yeah, it's like they're
everyone.
Chrome domes.
Yeah.
That's killer.
And so he meets up with Centauri, and that's when he's getting paid.
Well, after the guy says, Sanjay.
Right.
I love how he said that.
With the bad looking, like, poker visor almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Sanjay. He's the banker.
Right.
Yeah.
Like an old Western banker hat or something. So I think they're asking him too, like, how they got him, or maybe they were talking about that later on, about if he was using like the sword and stone or something like that.
The Excalibur method.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was a little bit later. First, he got the universal translator attached to his collar. So now, of course, miraculously, he hears everybody perfectly fine. And when he speaks, they understand him perfectly fine. I love how movies just nonchalantly, as a matter of factly, yep, universal translator, done.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that their mouths now move with the English words, whereas when they were speaking the foreign words, it would have been totally different.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yes.
I'm not trying to pick apart this movie.
Yeah, so he
But before that scene happened, though, they went back to Earth, and they showed Beta back on Earth. And this scene grossed me out.
Oh, in the bed?
I forgot about
that. Yeah, because Beta is now beginning to regenerate cells to look like Alex, and he's halfway there. And they show him before he's totally formed, and he was freaking gross.
He was
kind
of gross, yeah.
Like, just melted flesh all over his body.
Yeah, and then it was like puffing, retracting. Puffing, retracting.
Yeah!
Puffing, oh, man.
It's freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of, and I tried to get him in the notes, like a lot of cutbacks back and forth.
There was a lot of cutbacks.
Showing, from Rylos and the frontier to Earth, what's going on because of Beta. But yeah, he gets his like interpreter pin, and then he sees the gun stars, and he's like, you know, that he's really kind of like, wow, this is real. You know, this is a real deal. He can't believe he's seeing the gun stars. And then he has to go to like a briefing,
mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, he steps on some creature's foot, which the creature
I don't even
is.
Know if it was a foot. For all I know, it was a
it was like a tentacle
yeah,
like, thing.
Hey, for all we know, that was a reproductive organ. Just saying.
Yeah,
we don't know. All I know
neither
is
did
it
Alex, because he's like, I'm sorry, I stepped on your whatever that is.
Yeah, and we have like a little scuffle there, you know, and. Now, so then we have the ambassador who wants to give a speech to these starfighters, and tells them, like, you guys are here to help defend against Xur and the Codan Armada that wants to destroy not only Rylos, but the whole entire system of planets. And so I found this funny as well. He's saying, like, out of billions of people, only a few of you have made it as starfighters. And I'm thinking, all right, if you really need, like, why would you only, like, throw a couple hundred out there so you lose some?
Well, apparently, if you don't have the gift, you can't even control one of these starships.
Yeah, that's what I took it as. I mean, this is like super, super elite.
All right. Yeah, okay. I mean, throw them in some smaller ships then.
I agree. At least
you have a whole armada coming to your to destroy you, and you're just like, no, you're not good enough.
Yeah, I mean,
but, well, if you have the seven pillars of Gulu on your side, then you have the luck.
There you go. Logic.
This is what Centauri said to Alex. He wished him the luck of the seven pillars of Gulu.
Oh, yeah. He did do that, didn't he?
Yep.
He was sort of, 'cause I know he threw some stuff at him later on, too. Some facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the ambassador went on what I thought was actually a pretty good tirade, you know, back then of, you know, talking about this, this is serious. And I believe he first ended it off with a cheer of victory or death. And I can tell you, I don't know nothing, but there's probably been no successful military movement in the history of the universe where their mantra was victory or death. It's, we're going to kill you, not anything about us dying. That doesn't even come into our minds. But they said that, and they were all standing up, pounding their fists in the air. I'm like, dude, that's a little bit too serious.
Yeah, they were very supportive. It was getting pretty pretty rowdy.
Right, and did he first meet his navigator guy?
He meets Grig right after that part.
Okay.
Because
he sneaks out of the
seminar. Right, right. And he, like,
he tripped and he bangs into Grig.
Right.
Yeah.
And this guy looked a lot like, a heck of a lot like, an alien.
Lou Gossett Jr.?
Exactly. From, I can't remember that movie.
Enemy Mine.
A movie I would say probably 6 years older than this or 8 years older than this. He looked exactly like Lou Gossett. I mean, to the T, to me, when I saw him, I saw that exact same alien guy. I thought they literally took the makeup from the other movie and put it on this guy.
Really?
Well, except this guy's laugh was definitely different.
I love Grig's laugh.
Yeah. He's got like a smoker's laugh.
Exactly.
Enemy Mine, 85.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm mistaken.
But yeah, he bumps into him because he wants to get out of there, and he tells him how he got there. And this is when Grig kind of gives Centauri the what for, because he got him from Earth, you know, and Earth is off limits. And, you know, Centauri has a workaround, you know, well, yeah, right now, but they will be in, because they're not endangered in the League, is it called? The League?
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's like, well, look, at some, right now they're not, but they will be at some point, so.
Well, you're wondering at this point if just Centauri's like just a swindler.
Yeah.
Or does he actually care about things?
Well, he really cuffed the precious gems he was given at first chance. You're not taking my money.
Yeah, he's just fully into it for the payoff.
Yes.
You know, he's just a recruiter. That's all
right.
He's going to get his money and split.
Well, and I believe this is the exact time where we found out, quote unquote, he created the game. He marketed the game. He did everything to create that arcade game. And it turns out he tried to make it exactly like the actual spaceship controls. And this was his test because he couldn't do the, what'd you call it, Excalibur test? Because it was
I don't think they mentioned what the other training steps were, did they? Like the other tests were.
They made it sound like...
Oh, no, you're right. The Excalibur method, well, I guess. Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he couldn't do that. And he said, well, I didn't.
That's right. It was a pretty good alternative testing method, if you ask me.
I concur. Which means when I was young, I would have been a great drone pilot or something.
You might have been a starfighter material, Dora.
Not bad eyes didn't help.
Not me. I suck at video games, but I love them.
Well, and then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, right here in the movie is where the mystical, magical, bald guy's head appears in the middle of the station.
Yeah, Xur.
Xur.
Who is the son of the ambassador. But the ambassador has disowned him.
Right, go figure. It's the boss's kid.
Yeah.
Spoiled brat.
And so, and he basically is just telling them they're coming, they're taking over. People will welcome a new Rylos, you know. So he's the evil character, like you said. He's the evil character in this, up to no good. And
well, they reaffirmed that because they showed a picture of him torturing one of the ambassador's best spies, I believe he said.
Yep.
Well, he pretty much killed
him. I'm sure he was dead after that, but they left it up to you as the viewer to put two and two together. You saw a red light kind of going towards his head and him screaming bloody murder. Then they cut the camera.
That was pretty gross, too.
That, you know, yeah, I have...
For a PG movie?
I have that in my notes. Eek. It was a little...
Yeah.
You know, if my kids watched it, and at one point they're like, oof, did you see... My youngest said, is he bleeding? I said, no, it's not. He just got a sunburn or something.
No, see, and in my head, when I remembered the movie, I thought it was like the movie Scanners. I thought the guy's head was going to pop any second.
Yeah, I did, too. I thought that as well. So now Alex wants nothing to do with it. And, he has, Centauri take him back to, Earth.
Yeah. Centauri's not happy.
Yeah. Which then we cut to, Xur on the main ship of the, Codans. And you can tell there's not, a good relationship here. The Codans do not like him.
Oh, yeah.
He is flashing his, air quote power around, because he was told by their ambassador that their commander that he would be the commander of the armada. He was in charge.
And they're only tolerating him because he has the codes to something to the frontier or something like that.
Yeah,
he knows any information of the base.
Yeah, and
because I believe maybe the fourth word we hear out of one of the aliens is, "How long do we have to put up with him?"
Yeah.
Because it was clear to us, the viewer, it was only a matter of time. That guy's days were numbered.
Yeah. And that orange shield that came down from the main, Codan guy.
Yeah.
That
was like Google Glass 1984.
Yeah. And listeners can't see, but I'm actually doing it in the Google Hangout. But that was cool. I always liked that part. Every time I've watched it, I'm like, oh, here's the part where that thing, and I'm always trying to see, how are they doing that? Where's the string that's making that thing go?
Yeah, cause you hear it. When it comes around, it's like, dude, what's he looking at? What does he see? I want to know what he sees.
Yeah. So they have a brief breach in the frontier or something where they can actually shoot on this base.
Quick note. This was the first movie in hindsight I watched that actually used the word frontier correctly. The actual definition of frontier, it was a compound word. Back in the old England-type days, a border. When I'm standing at the edge of my border, my side of that border is the front. The other side of that border is the tier. That was a frontier. It was an edge of a border. And when I saw this again, and I saw them say, the frontier, and you see a border, I thought, a movie that actually uses the word exactly correctly. I loved it. It got a little geek cred for me for that.
That's all right.
How do people use it incorrectly?
Now we think of it as space, as the final frontier, the Wild West frontier, like out there we think of.
But who in space says the final frontier?
Oh, I don't know. Like maybe the beginning of Star Trek?
Oh, that one. I don't know. Watch it.
That's the way most people think of frontier. They think of it being like a wild space.
Yeah.
When it actually isn't. It's a borderline.
No, you're right. I was just kidding. But they have, so they have like a breach and they want to shoot some lasers or whatever at the base where all the starfighters are. And this is when Xur gets ticked off and is flexing his muscles like, because the Codan guy is going to give the order, and he's like saying, "No, I'm in charge." And he's got that
staff
scepter that he keeps, pushing the whatever button, the hidden knife blade comes at the top of the scepter, and I'm just like, "Oh my gosh, man, this guy is such a dork."
Yeah,
he is a major tool.
He is. You know, he has no idea how badly they wanted to just slit his throat.
Yeah. And I'll say, this was the first part of the movie where you got a really good look at their special effects, how they were doing the space things. I fully accepted it was not real when I was a kid, but it was at least consistent unto itself. Obviously, it was fake.
It was consistently not real.
Right, but it worked. It worked. I was along for the ride.
Yeah, it worked for me, too. I understood what they were going for.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I had no problems with it. I thought it was good. When Zur actually gives the order to fire and they shoot, you know, so now on the base, they know what's coming. And this is when we see that banker guy come and he's putting the plastique on some of the control panels so that they basically can't defend themselves.
Yeah, but see.
Yeah, they blow up the automatic defense mechanism.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. This is what I love about how scaringly accurate sometimes these movies are. Technology in the future, it's going to literally be like where that guy didn't have to bomb a screen. All he had to do was put a piece of plastic in front of a screen, and the people were too stupid to know how to actually use what's going on in front of them. They hit a button. Actually, they don't hit a button. The automatic defenses come up, and it just wildly shoots everywhere, where if there was friendly ships in the area, they would have died. Because you just see lasers shooting off in every single direction. It's like they were playing the odds. Well, if we shoot at this pattern enough times and these things are coming in, we'll destroy them for sure. So it's like automatic guns just go blazing. And like 30 seconds afterwards, the guy's bomb goes off on a table. And it looked like C4, genuine C4. We're also seeing a lot of C4 in our movies. Or yes. Plastique, sorry.
Plastique, the third movie with some plastique.
Right. And,
that's right.
And then we see the gun basically like, fail and just go down. And the guys, everybody on the base is just too stupid to know what to do. They just stare at the screen. It's getting closer. It's getting closer.
Maybe there's nothing they could do.
Well, yeah, I think they were helpless at that point.
They were going to die.
Well, you know, this was, I'll just say, another space franchise of that era. Somebody might have jumped in a gunner and start shooting it by hand, but.
Yeah, that having the automatic weapons as their last defense was kind of weak planning, I think.
I think typical for quote unquote advanced races.
But we need it. We need it for what's going to happen in the movie.
Yeah,
I mean, it's got
to tell that to the guys who died, Sean.
A lot. Well, every single starfighter, except one.
Except for one, but we cut back to Earth, where Centauri actually brings Alex back, and he's working on the DeLorean. It's broke down.
And I'll say we're coming up on a fatal flaw of the movie.
All right. Well, you let me know when we get there. He gives Alex a beacon of some sorts, and just basically tells him, like, look, man, you want to change your mind? Get a hold of me. And so Alex gets back to the trailer park. Runs into Mags. She slapped him. And I watched that slap in VLC slow down like for 10 minutes. I kept slowing it down, man. That was a good acting slap.
Yeah.
It was definitely a good acting
slap. Did
she
hit him for real?
No, but it was definitely close enough in his face. The timing was perfect.
The timing, the angle, good one.
Yeah.
The flaw. Centauri came back to Earth, dropped him off, fixed his vehicle, let him walk for some godforsaken reason, didn't give him a lift back to the park, just let him walk, left the planet, and didn't take Beta with him.
Well,
I think Centauri would have been smarter than that.
I mean, too. Take your Beta unit. Unless the Beta unit was programmed to self-destruct or something. But it didn't seem like it.
It was unclear. But it was needed in the story for him to be there.
Yeah, and maybe it was wishful thinking on Centauri. We'll say that he was going to change his mind.
Yeah.
You know, but Alex goes back to his house and sees, this is where he meets Beta. And Beta then explains to him why he's there, the purpose of him being there. You know, we met in the car. The whole purpose of me being here, so you can be defending the frontier. Right.
And he said, I can't do it.
Yeah,
I love how when Alex is like, why don't you go up there and pretend to be me? Beta took such pride, had such a smile on his face when he's like, I can't. Simuloids can't fight. We're not allowed, he goes. And he just has a big smile. Yeah. Like, nope, I ain't gonna die.
And even though they were identical, the same actor, they definitely made like a nice subtle differences. Like the hair was almost looked like a wig in a sense, you know, the way it was done. So you could tell there was a little bit of difference. He didn't quite have down the character of Alex.
Right.
He may have looked like him, but to act and carry himself, he didn't have that.
And I really liked the way they did that. I liked Beta, and I liked how they played them both out like that.
Yeah, I like Beta better.
Well, and I did like the fact that they both told Lewis to shut up and go back to sleep at the exact same time, because they're essentially the same person. Right. And I did like the fact that Alex told him, shut up and go back to sleep, or I'll tell Mom about your Playboy collection. And the kid's, like, what, 8, 9 years old?
Yeah. Probably, yeah, I'd say probably like 10, maybe, yeah.
And I did like the fact that earlier in the movie, when he opened up his Playboy, he was looking for a certain month. He finally found the right month, opened it up, hubba hubba.
And he said, oh, Yolanda or something like
Yolanda,
that.
Oh, Yolanda, yeah. Hello, Yolanda. That was just,
I'm sorry, great, because that's the kind of scene that just sticks with you.
The month of June, I think it was.
Yeah, June.
Where's June? Oh, Yolanda.
Yeah, and here I thought he was looking through his brother's Playboys. Little did I know. No. I don't even know how he's getting them. I don't want to know how he's getting them.
Lewis is a troublemaker. You could tell that kid's he's a troublemaker.
I'm thinking that Otis is probably hooking him up with Max. I don't know.
Yeah. So Alex is, he's like, look, I had enough. He's going to call Centauri to come in, to get Beta, to come back and get Beta, get him out of here, go on with his life. They head upstairs towards the old starfighter, which we had just during this, we have a cut scene where some stranger gets dropped off and is walking with his bag towards the starfighter.
And this guy, now watching again, this guy was on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He was a reoccurring character. His face is so unique. I mean, and as soon as I saw his face again, I knew exactly who this guy was. But I was sad that as soon as he got dropped off by the truck, he went by the video game, turned towards it, and the video game basically took off his mask.
Yeah, well, it started doing like the same thing as earlier. Yeah, and then his face just kind of like pixelated, and some ugly, nasty looking slimy monster.
What are those things called? Zanzans or something?
Xanozans.
Xanozans.
Oh no, it's ugly.
Yeah, so Alex and Beta are headed up that way, and the Xanozan ends up popping out and starts taking shots at them as he had called.
I didn't like how Alex ran away from the Xanozan. It was, I always have to comment on people running in movies, and I think Alex ran a little too slow.
Well, on the bright side, he didn't run far. He maybe took five steps.
Only a couple steps. He didn't hustle.
So we have a little tussle going on with the Xanazan, and was he like dripping stuff on him or something?
I don't know if it was dripping or if it was supposed to be like sand or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Or stones or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Centauri ends up coming back.
Just in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He ends up getting shot. Well, he shoots the Xanazan, right? And
he shoots the Xanazan's arm off.
Yeah, and then he falls off the roof, and he ends up that he had gotten shot as well.
And I believe he even says it was just a flesh wound.
He did.
Yeah, and so Alex decides to go back because he tells him, like, look, there's going to be more Xanazans here in like 2 hours or whatever. That, you know, they're going to be here. They're coming to get you.
Right, and that's why the Beta's here.
Right. So he decides he's going to go back with Centauri. They end up getting back to the base on Rylos. And this is where, Centauri dies.
Yeah. Well, and when the spaceship is re-entering the base, there's not many errors in this movie. Like Die Hard, there was like 155 errors. And I will say,
really? Is that
a lot? I will say, I do believe the more popular a movie is, the more errors people find in it. But there was one error clear in this movie, and that was when they were re-entering the base this time around, you could actually see scaffolding from the set as soon as showed the ship come into the docking bay.
I didn't even notice that.
I didn't. I had to read it, go back, watch it again just for that scene. I was like, yeah, you can.
Read it where?
On moviemistakes.com, I believe is the website.
Well, maybe they were
You
just...
read all the bloopers before you watched it? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I will say, Sean, exactly what you, I think you were getting ready to say. I do believe they might have literally said it, leave it in because it looks like a raw, like a beaten down space station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the repairing or something like that.
Right.
So yeah, they meet up with Greg and Centauri ends up, passing away. We think,
and that really affected Alex.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird. Why?
I don't know. Maybe he reminded him of his dad that we never saw.
I guess. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. It didn't affect him. I think it affected him just the right amount. He didn't like cry or anything, but he was upset. He's the only person he knew up in that on Hylos.
I guess. And then he just witnessed somebody dying right in front of him. So I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll give you that.
And Grig is lucky he didn't die because he was actually repairing the last starfighter. And that's why that starfighter survived and Grig survived.
Right.
He was in a hangar or something. Or no, he was in another place.
Yeah, he wasn't in the hangar.
Right.
The hangar, because the hangar is what got really jacked up.
Yes.
But from here, we cut back to Earth again to Beta, which was a really funny part where he's hearing some loud noises and he ends up looking. At first, you can tell he thinks it's like a Zanazan or something is coming, but he sees it's a moth outside. So there's obviously something going on with his internal hearing mechanisms, to where he sits at the desk and takes his head off. And
yeah.
I think he even complains about, oh, I got to do an ear repair or something.
Yeah.
And Lewis ends up waking up and looking at that. Was funny.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And he
Lewis,
just tells
you're
him,
having a terrible nightmare. Go back to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, and he had to double check it. Like, he kind of looked and then he looks again. Because there's his brother's head staring at him from a desk.
But I like that part. That was hilarious. But I think even before that, when he makes up with Maggie, because he was upset that Maggie put her tongue in his ear.
Yeah.
He didn't know what the hell that was for. so that's why she slapped him, right? Because he said something about that.
Yeah, you're
anyway,
right.
Anyway, when he makes up with her, she gives him like the eyebrows, like the okay, I'll make it up to you at the lake or something like that. And then she does these little eyebrow move with
right.
him. And he couldn't figure out what he's like. He starts moving his eyebrows and he's moving them with his finger and he's like, oh my God, my eyebrows can do that. He's like, what is that? I love that bar.
Yeah, he was. I like Beta Man. He was a funny character. He did.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And you know, the guy who played Alex and him, it was great. The two differences in the way the characters carried themselves. I thought he did a great job. We cut back up to Alex, and he's getting suited up with Greg, and they're going to go to the new and improved Gunstar that has like. I don't know, has like a better deflection shield or something, but it also has the Death Blossom,
mm-hmm.
which will shoot shoots everywhere.
Death Blossom for the win, baby.
Yeah, it's like you only press that once. It's not something you use all the time.
Okay. Like if you really want to cheat, you just hit Death Blossom.
A special attack, which is another thing I loved about the movie. In almost every video game, there was some kind of special attack you could do only once or twice, maybe three times, and then you were out of them. So I had to look at that. It made perfect sense to me. Of course.
And that was new for this Gunstar, right?
I believe that was the first one.
This was the only Gunstar they had.
Yeah, it had like a couple different options or whatever. And when they're taking off...
It could survive. Sorry, it could also survive direct hits. It had like I think it was faster, had better maneuverability, like weapons upgrades, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
definitely a better gunship.
And I'll say,
is that what they're called? Gunstars.
Gunstars. I think. And I'll say this was the first scene to me. It was obvious these ships are grossly oversized compared to how every other movie does single fighters, because in most movies when it's a fighter it's like almost the size of like a F-14, you know what I mean, because that's what we picture as being the right size. This thing is huge.
Oh yeah, right. It has like the it was cool because Greg, who is the like
navigator,
the navigator of the Gunstar, he's in the bottom, and then Alex has got to take the elevator up to the front and the back, but in landing position, it's pointed up. I thought that was cool too. How he had to like stand up there and take him up there to get into his seat up above. I thought that was pretty cool. It gave you a feeling, like you said, of how massive,
yeah,
this Gunstars really are. But and this is when he does tell him, like you said, he explains that all the that the hangar was what got destroyed, and all of the starfighters were in the hangars. And that there was only one starfighter left, and that's Alex.
Yeah. That was a good scene, how he was explaining that.
Yeah.
How many are left? Just one. One! You got all pissed.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure to put on a kid. That's all I got to say. Could have lied and said, oh, there's a couple of them out there waiting for us. Don't worry. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. You know, ease him into it. Ease him into it.
So then we do another real quick cut back to Earth again. And it's playing it, to play on the whole awkwardness of Beta with Mags. You know, Mags is saying, look, let's go hang out tonight. We'll go to the Silver Lake and make up and whatever she tells him. I don't know, but he's got to go through the motions of it because he's got to be Alex. But in the same sense, he knows he can smell that there's more Zanazans around, which they're watching him with binoculars or some kind of you know, binocular type mechanism or something. They're actually watching him, so he can smell them. So he's like, yeah, okay, we'll go up to the lake, yeah, or whatever.
Was this the scene in the truck, back of the truck bed, I think?
He's helping Otis put up a
Yes, the antenna.
And the antenna. It's just a real quick cut to that scene, just to let you know that Beta's on to that.
Oh, that's the eyebrow scene. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's where he did the eyebrow move.
And I think, as a matter of fact, I think Beta saw, when we cut back before with the ear, I think he saw the actual ship, like a shooting star.
Yes,
which
he did.
Told you, okay, he right then and there, he knew something was going on. There was a scene where he saw that. I'm not sure if that's the exact scene.
Good
but
point. Yeah.
It was. Because he had to turn his head with his hand because his head was on the desk,
yeah,
to see out the window. Yeah.
We go back up to the Gunstar, and they end up encountering a cargo ship, I think he says. And the cargo ship won't identify itself. What's that, Steve?
It was like an Artorian ship or something like that. I can't remember what kind it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember, I thought he said like a cargo, some sort of cargo ship. I don't know. Yeah, who he said it was, but they end up firing on the starfighter.
Yeah. Well,
or the star,
he like purposely put him into that situation because he wanted to, for the starfighter to emerge out of its cocoon, if you will.
Right. And he does.
And he does.
But he's not, but he's not happy about it.
No, he didn't like being manipulated.
He's kind of a whiner.
Yeah.
I'll call, dude, all right, look. The kid, and he is a kid.
You were waiting for that, weren't you?
No, not really.
Yeah, you were. But you jumped said it on that way too quick.
Well, because I liked Alex's character. One hour ago, or maybe two or three hours ago, he was on Earth, and now he's in space being given the task of, like, saving the universe kind of thing. I mean, cut him some slack, dude.
Yeah, but he went back. He willingly went back. What do you think's going to happen? Right? I mean, he went back, and now he went.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But now he doesn't want to do it again. He, like, keeps flip-flopping.
Well, and if he needed inspiration, he had a picture of Maggie on him to remind him of what he needs to do, why he needs to do this.
Yeah, it was like an old World War II, you know,
exactly,
airship gunner or some bomber, you know, with their girls posted on it, like the pinups or whatever. But
yeah,
and go ahead, Dor.
And I will say, I liked the space flight and how that all went down, because they could have literally made it a 4-second scene. Shoot, bang, dead. No, they actually drawled it out to show there was some skill needed, you know. These ships didn't fly themselves, nor did they shoot themselves. He actually needed to do it right. And they really did emphasize it there. That was the real introduction to the ship, because the video game was just a game.
Yeah, and he did some test shooting before they even encountered this cargo ship, right?
Yeah.
That's when Grig launches out like the four-sided Dungeons & Dragons die that flies out in front, and he's shooting at him.
Exactly.
And he's having trouble at that. But, anyways, he's not happy, but Greg is telling him about his family, which were kind of funny photos.
They were hilarious.
Yeah.
I love the picture of his wife.
Yeah. Didn't she have like on a pink little like outfit with like a fuzzy neck thing or something? Or maybe
I think it was just. Oh, maybe. That's right.
Yeah, there was some neck poofy thing.
Like, they look identical, right. But just so you know, it's a female version of Greg. Right. We'll put something pink and frilly on her.
Exactly.
And then he looks at his picture of Mags, and I think this is when he comes around to be like, okay.
And I like how he explained what houses were in mobile homes. He's like, hey, these are like caves that move around, but we don't go anywhere.
Right.
Right.
And Greg is like, ooh. Mobile caves that stay where they are. Interesting.
Yeah.
It
was a good scene. And now he's come around again, knowing it's not just about shooting ships. It's not about a video game. It's about the fact that he's got to help defend against these people. Like, a lot of innocent people are at risk, and people's family, like Griggs' family, you know, it could be under the rule of the Codans and Xur. So.
And I think Greg had about 3,000 kids too.
Something insane. Yeah. Yes, I know it was more than 100. It was like it was at least like 300
in the thousand. It was in the thousands.
Yeah. So we cut back to Earth again. Love this part. They're at Silver Lake, and you know,
they're on their way.
Well, yeah. Okay, I skipped that part where they're driving in the back of the truck, and he's. But you can go ahead and. Talk about this part. I don't remember exactly.
She's trying to explain, like, he seems a little uptight and he should just relax and try laughing and stuff. And he takes that cue and he starts laughing like Dor. Just
horribly.
Did.
And everybody just stops and just looks at him.
Yeah, a very forced laugh.
Yeah.
Doesn't know what he's doing. And I think that's when they pass, like, the police car or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that. But when they're at the lake, and, you know, he's trying to be, you know, romantic with her. He doesn't know what to do. And he's like pitching, you know, he's like throwing his hearing across like the lake to Blake and his girl, I think it was, you know, and so he's going to copy what he's saying. And, you know, obviously Blake had cheated at one point because he's telling her this girl that the girl spent nothing
right.
to him. And the girl obviously is kind of a floozy herself because she's just like, whatever, just talk dirty to me. And, so Beta ends up saying the exact same things to Max.
Yeah, I want to say, being a dork, I really related with him trying to listen into another conversation to pick up what to do. I think that was maybe like a dorky realism factor to this.
Yeah, I think me too. And he finally gives up after that didn't fly. He's like, look, I'm not Alex. He's like, enough of this crap.
Yeah, but I think the confirmation was when one of the bad guys tried to shoot him.
Well,
it was before that. Yeah. But then he got shot immediately afterwards, and he goes, see, as green, like, you know, liquid is coming out of his gut.
Yeah, and so she knows now what's going on, and they have to stop this Xanazan because they know that he is a Beta. He's not the actual Alex. And so the Xanazan wants to go back to its ship, contact the Codan Armada and Xur and let them know that there's actually a starfighter out there. Cause as far as they know, all the starfighters are dead.
Right.
You know, they have full, just boom, let's get through the frontier, and we have open range with no resistance whatsoever. So they steal Blake's truck, and they end up chasing him down to the Xanazan's. It sounds really weird saying that so many times, but chase him down to his ship, and he has Mags jump out, and he ends up driving into the ship just before he can get that transmission off.
Well, he did
to the Codons.
He did his Beta duty, which was he told her to jump out. Don't worry, we're going to jump out on the count of three. He knew he wasn't going to jump out. He suicide missioned the truck into the guy's spaceship to try to end the communication because he knew he was going to tell him.
Right. Yeah, and he even says, you owe me one, Alex, or something, yeah. as he's crashing into him.
And the guy gets a partial transmission out. but the very important bits got he did not get out.
I can't.
Yeah, they, I think they got like the last starfighter.
That's all they got.
And that was it. But they shortly find out what is actually going on because we cut back up to space again, and they end up seeing the Gunstar on radar, and that's when they realize that there's a starfighter left. So I don't understand why they get so hard on Xur right now about it, but they do. The Codans.
Well, wouldn't you? All the starfighters were supposed to be dead.
Right.
These are the one thing that can take down your central command ship.
Yeah, it just didn't, it, I don't know, it didn't fit right, I guess, to me, because, I don't know, it wasn't like he was trying to dupe them or whatever, but either way, I mean, they I think it didn't take much for them because they were already wanting an excuse to, you know, take away his scepter and throw him into a cell because they tell him to take him away or whatever. And he's kicking and screaming. He's throwing a little hissy fit about it as well.
That's exactly what I would call it, a hissy fit. Because he was not like throwing punches. He was kind of just whining and flailing about.
Yeah. Did he pull the scepter out on him at that point and then they grab him from behind? I can't remember now.
He pulled the scepter out and the two guards came in and grabbed him from behind. He didn't see it coming. Yeah. And they didn't run to get him. They just walked slowly. And luckily, he didn't turn around before they got him.
Yeah.
And then there was a, you know, when they got hit by the ship got hit with a rocket or a gun or something and shook about enough that the guards lost their grip on him and he got away.
Yeah, he gets into the escape pod. And that blast is from Alex, right? The Gunstar where they take out the communication turret.
That's right. Yep, they take out the communication turret.
So they can't communicate now with the rest of the Armada. Yeah, that happens. Xur gets into an escape pod. And I think, just so you know, I think I kept saying, like, escape pod activated, escape yeah. pod activated, or something like that. It's just so, in case you didn't understand that he was escaping, they let us know.
Otherwise, it would look like he just would have walked into like a little compartment in the wall.
It looked
something.
Like he was going in the trash compactor or something.
Yeah, right.
But, so now, Alex decides like that they're going to, take on the actual Armada. Now that they have the communications out, they can kind of like do what, like a sneak up attack on these guys. So they do engage and there's some normal fire exchange being had and they're even taking on fire. Like you said earlier, this new Gunstar can take the hits because it does. I'm thinking this thing is just either just sitting there at a standstill getting popped and, and they're shooting other ships.
They had to be patient, you know?
Right. Because they wanted to use the Death Blossom.
Well, wouldn't you?
Of course.
And he had to wait for all of the possible ships to be in the circumference, in the range of the Death Blossom.
Right. And when they are...
And bang. I swear, there is an actual emulator game of this. I didn't even know it existed. It's for Windows only. You can download it. But I swear, at least another game after this stole this idea where you hit the button and the ship just goes crazy spinning in all directions and anything within a certain range will get hit because it just shoot all different directions. And he had to wait and then boom, hit it. He took out what looked like it had to be at least like 12-15 ships.
Yeah, he took out the remainder of the Armada. And when he pressed that Death Blossom and it started spinning, all I'm thinking is, dude, if I was the last Starfighter, I would have just puked everywhere inside that Gunstar. Everywhere. I would have been a complete mess. I do not do well with that kind of spinning stuff.
The controls would have been
slippery.
You couldn't
be a figure skater then.
Oh, I used to be okay when I was younger. Well, now that I'm getting old, I mean, I'm only 38, but.
I'll just say, obviously, you don't have the gift.
No, I don't. I would have gotten, I get dizzy on a carousel with my kids now. I'm serious. I can't do even that. Anything going in a circular motion like that, done. And I used to love rides like that.
I like the Death Blossom scene because that ship kicked some major butt.
Oh, it was, yeah, no, it was definitely
they were spinning
cool.
so fast. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
And then after you hit Death Blossom, you lose power for a certain amount of time because it just sucks it all up. So Grig is like scrambling to restore power because the command ship is like going to ram into them, basically, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like going through all these circuit boards and stuff. And if you look close, there's a freaking 9-volt battery connector coming out of one of the circuit boards he's fiddling with. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I didn't see
I'm like, really? They have 9 volts on Rylos? I thought that was funny.
I thought it looked like a NIC card or something, like an Ethernet coming off of it.
Yeah.
With little LEDs. Yeah, I didn't notice that either. But they get it up in time and they end up hitting the ship again. And what does it do? Just like knocks out the power or something, right? They're steering because they end up.
Yeah, he's totally messing things up. I think he shot it in multiple places or. Yeah, and they crash into the moon.
Yeah,
right?
They end up they can't control and they end up crashing into the moon. But before
this is the part where you voxed me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because one of the alien dudes, what are they called? The
Codans? The Codans?
The Codans. They're like, what do we... One guy's like saying to the captain, like, what do we do now? And what does he say, Sean?
We die.
Yeah.
You know, a proud warrior. He's not panicking. He's just, we're going to die. What are you going to do?
Game over. It was a quick death. I mean, if we would have hit the moon... In one of those things, we all died pretty fast.
Yeah. So, right from there, it cuts to the big celebration, where they get the medals around their neck. just kidding. But, yeah, so the whole, you know, Rylos is all excited that they saved the day, and the emperor approaches Alex
Ambassador.
And says, you know, the ambassador. I'm sorry.
What movie are you in again?
I put Emperor in my notes. Well, the ambassador approaches Alex and asks him to stay and help rebuild the region, and tells him he won't be alone. He'll have a friend. And this is when this like weird looking ghostly alien dude comes out, takes off a hood or something. Right? Yeah.
He came out like a monk. I want to say.
And it's the one and only Centauri.
Ta-da!
So we have our reunion there.
He also did show his face when Alex first met him in the DeLorean.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And that was a pretty scary scene. You know, like Centauri's like just driving around and then he flies into space. And then he takes his face off to clean his eyeballs. And then he turns and looks at Alex and he has his true ugly alien face.
Yeah, that was funny how he just looks at him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got these little tiny eyeballs that are attached and they're like really close together.
Yeah.
And my kids had something like that for Halloween that they put on their finger. So it's like little eyeballs you put on your finger and then you draw a mouth on your fingers. It looked exactly like that.
Oh, yeah. I've had that.
But so Alex, you know, he goes back to Earth with Grig and they land that Gunstar right smack in the middle of the old trailer park. And, of course, the whole, I want to say the town, but the whole trailer park comes, Granny with her shotgun ready.
Exactly.
And this scene's pretty cool.
Well, and here's where they should have had, like, maybe a song from Queen or something, because he was, like, triumphant. Now, of course, we as the viewer know that the people in the trailer park really don't understand what he did, where he was at, what he was doing. They just know this kid is doing great things. You know what I mean? He came back with this incredible looking spaceship that looks kind of like the one in the video game. And he came back with an alien.
Yeah, when Grig comes out and
it's a monster.
He's like, Granny, it's okay. What do you say, Granny, it's okay?
He's like, put that shotgun away.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Or he's like, what's wrong with you? And he comes out and they're all there. And he tells them that he's been to another planet. They're like in shock. Now, here's the part I liked. What's that dude's name with the cowboy hat whose truck he stole? What's his name? Blake?
Yeah.
If you watch him, like, he's in kind of disbelief. Like, well, first of all, the spaceship lands. a guy with a spacesuit comes out, and it wasn't until he took his helmet off that everybody knew it was Alex. They go up there, and Maggie's like French kissing him, like. So they want to really make sure that it's Alex at that point. And then they see that it's Alex. Anyway, so Alex tells him the deal. They're all standing there. And then he's kind of telling them, like, you know, I gotta leave. And Grig comes out, and he gets introduced to them all. And even at this point, when Grig tells them all, like, Alex saved, like, your planet and all this other stuff, Blake is standing there, and he's just shaking his head, and like, yeah, whatever. This is after a Gunstar lands in the trailer park. He's still in disbelief about Alex, like, just doing something special.
That's funny. I didn't even notice Blake's reaction.
Yeah, watch Blake's reaction. So he wants Maggie to go back with him, so he has a little chat with her. And she decides to stay. She's not going to go. And
well, then... But then as he's going up, Granny tells her to basically go, and he stops the little elevator that looked as if it was being pulled up by a rope. It was kind of like the way it was going up wasn't real smooth.
Also, I love how Alex says bye to his mom. Like, he just came back from space, and he's going back up. He has no idea when he's going to come back. He hugs his mom. He goes, I got to go, Mom. Take it easy.
Yep.
That's what he said.
Hey, I think he still held a grudge from her opening up the loan letter.
You could be right, Dor.
I'm just saying.
It's possible. That was hilarious.
Yeah, so she goes with him, and as the Gunstar's taking off, his little brother runs over and starts. Well,
but first, as the ship is taking off, I take notice to Otis getting a little comfy with Mom's. He's doing a little grubbing, I'll just say.
Hey, somebody's got to watch what's going on now, and Alex is gone. Someone's got to be the man of the house.
His mom needs comforting. And then, yes, of course, it ended with the dust hasn't even settled yet, and his little brother has to go up to the video game and start playing.
Yep, because maybe he'll get picked at some point. And that's the end of Last Starfighter.
Well, the ship takes off, and I love the last scene where the star from the trailer park is in the corner of the screen blinking, and the rest of the camera angle space. I thought it was pretty cool camera work.
Very good.
And then it ends.
Now, I guess in that scene, Will Wheaton, I guess, was in this movie but cut out. I guess he was cut out from the movie, but you could still see him. Standing behind Lewis at the end scene.
No way.
And I kept looking for it, and I think I finally saw it tonight, just before we watched the show. If you watch that scene when the Gunstar lands and they start coming up, and I think you see like Granny coming around the corner of even possibly the Starfighter game, poking around, and you'll see Lewis, and then right behind him, I think that's Will Wheaton. And I think you also can see him run around the trailer park at some point. But I've been looking for him for, like, every time I watch this past couple months now, getting ready for the show, I could never find him until I think that's the spot. So you have to go back and watch when that Gunstar is landing and Granny starts poking around the Starfighter machine, I think, or it could be an ice machine, I don't remember exactly. You see Lewis, and right behind him, I think that's Will Wheaton. Again, credit, Retroist. He points that out in his podcast, and I think I finally seen it, because I couldn't find it.
I'll say this. He was born in 1972, so he was like 11, 12 maybe when that movie was shot. And I want to say Star Trek The Next Generation, he was 14 or 15. So he should look kind of like he did in the beginning of
it's
that.
It's not... From the part that I think it is, it's not a real, like, clear picture of him.
Well, we can just call him up then. Yeah.
If I remember, I'll throw a screenshot on the website in the picture section if I can get a decent screenshot from it. But, yeah, there was another part I want to talk about, but I can't recall. So you guys have the floor.
Did you want to talk about how the ambassador's facial hair, sideburn, and around the head hair kind of like all wove together like a weird wave. Because their hair almost freaked me out as equally as they're all bald.
They did look.
Yeah, the hair that they did have was weaved, like kind of like all intertwined.
They looked like the Who's, except for they didn't have like the weird noses.
That's true. That's a good point.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just kidding about the Star Wars stuff. I'm not saying it was a.
Are you really?
I'm not saying it was like a rip. It's just funny now. Like I never noticed any of that stuff as a kid watching this movie. Just now, you know, as an adult watching it, I can just make little connections. Going, okay, that's kind of Star Wars-esque, that part.
Well, I would say the closest connection, and you brought this up about Alex, the closest connection to me is how much of a whiner Alex is identical to Luke.
Luke being a whiner, yeah. 4.
Well, I'll say this. I wouldn't say it ripped anything off. If anything, I would say it was inspired by, it was paying tribute to, because that movie at its time, I mean, come on, epic.
Well, other yeah, 84. Like yeah, that's the height of Star Wars. I mean, Jedi came out, what, 83? Yeah. So, but no, I'm not trying to say that it ripped it off. I just watching it now, I can just, you know, because that's how it was. Like Luke would stare off and he wanted to be away from the moisture farm. You know, he wanted to go somewhere bigger and better, have some meaning of what, you know, other than being a moisture farmer. Just like Alex didn't want to be a trailer park maintenance guy. He wanted bigger and better things.
Yeah.
So. That's it. This movie was great. I liked this movie a lot.
Yeah, I didn't think of Star Wars when I watched it either. Like, even when I was younger, I didn't think it was like a ripoff. I just didn't feel like it was. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and as a kid, it was just recently that I yeah. that I made those connections. I mean, I am, you guys know, I'm a little bit of a Star Wars fan, so I don't know. I just think that way, I guess. But I did. I totally enjoy this movie. I love this podcast, just being able to kind of just rag on this stuff, you know, in a non-serious way.
I'll just say.
Except for Die Hard.
I really liked Otis. Just good. I'm sorry. He was the kind of character in the movie that just links all the other stuff together. He was supposed to be like the good-hearted, kind people of his trailer park.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because he even says, like, that when Alex is, you know, bitching because he's got to stay there and fix everything, and he's like, oh, you never have a good time or whatever. And then Mags pulls up, and he kind of eyeballs to Mags, like, you know, that there's an issue. You need to go talk to him or whatever.
I thought it was more of the brown chicken, brown cow eyeball he was giving.
But he doesn't give
him. Is that why you like Otis? He's always putting the moves on people.
He's a player.
But I didn't like that he didn't leave. Like, he kind of just sat there smoking while they're, you know, give him a little privacy.
I agree. I know. I thought the same thing.
I was like, all right, that's cool.
I'm like, he must be far enough away that he can't hear. No, he's not. He could hear.
Yeah, he's totally eavesdropping on it. Because, you know, he's probably the gossip of the trailer park as well. He's the maintenance guy. He's the father figure.
I got the idea that he was running that restaurant because he was, like, putting ketchup. Like moving ketchup mm-hmm. bottles around. Right. I had the idea that he was might have been like, that's his restaurant.
It could be, yeah.
I don't think he was a maintenance guy.
Well, I just thought because he was helping, but that could obviously it could have been his trailer that he was putting
on. I think
the,
that was his antenna, yeah.
putting the antenna on.
He wants to get, you know, wants to get the stations in. Give him a break.
I don't blame him, man. Get the free stuff. But, you guys got anything else on this one? Anything? Any other parts that stand out that you want to comment on that we didn't touch on?
It's just an epic movie. I think it was a movie that in its time used all the tools that it could use to simply just try to make the best movie possible. I don't think the movie was made with the idea of marketing or sequels or anything else. It was just trying to be a good movie.
I don't know, with Kirk getting away in the escape pod, that sounds like sequel material to me.
I know.
I really enjoyed this movie, too. I love that it all came from an arcade. I thought that was the coolest idea, that that arcade wasn't just an arcade, it was a test, and he was doing training, and he was like practicing on it, and I just thought that it was brilliant that they did it like that, because I played arcades and I wanted to become good at them, and just the whole idea that you becoming good at an arcade game might mean you're passing like a secret test, I thought that was just a killer idea.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
My oldest son told me literally 3 or 4 days ago, he said, and I quote, "When I get older, I'm going to get rich by playing video games." So it's like every...
He said that? Yeah.
I said...
Oh, you need to foster that.
I said, son, that is a difficult task. You better... It is.
Oh, you know, that's not fostering it. What did you say? Oh, no, you need to go to a good college.
Absolutely. You obviously don't know me.
You need to become a lawyer.
No, you
need to go into accounting.
Obviously don't know me. He will, if over my dead body, go to college, period. It's not easy, Steve, to even make a career playing video games. He better be serious about it. I'm not going to tell him, oh, you're going to do great. Buck up, son. You're going to do great. I don't want to be the dad that lies to his kid every turn. No, I'm not saying that.
You know, hopefully you backed up. That'll be difficult. You better practice your ass off, dude.
That is hard. That takes a lot of work. And, of course, his response was, well, you need to let me play more video games.
That's a great response.
And then he walked in the other room and said to your other son, I just got him.
Exactly.
That is a great response. I like it.
And I do think I see Will Wheaton, Sean. I'm looking at it right now. 1 hour, 31 minutes, and 6 seconds is when it looks like his head peeking around the crowd.
Around the corner. Yeah, around the crowd. Like I said, I was looking for it in different... I could not find it. I was actually looking for it after the crowd came out to the Gunstar, which he may be in that part at some point. But I finally saw it tonight. But my kids like this movie. They've watched it a couple times here and there in passing as I've watched it a little bit here over the past couple months, a little bit there. And tonight when I was doing some notes and kind of just moving around the scenes, it was the We Will Die part, and my oldest boy was standing right there, and he said it right with him. He knew the part and everything, and he looks at me and kind of winks. So that was good. I love when my kids can watch these movies that, you know, from our childhood. I don't know, it just makes me feel good that they'll watch them.
That's pretty neat.
But I don't know. That's all I got for this one, boys.
I think I'm good, too.
Door?
Oh, good movie. Good year for content. I'll just say that. Again, it was 1984. In my youth, maybe one of the more important years in my youth, just because I'm a dork. But I think this movie does epitomize a lot of my youth. Playing video games and far-off dreams of saving the galaxy.
It was definitely a good year for some movies. We'll be doing some more movies from that year. I already have. So with that, I think that's a wrap on the Last Starfighter. But in closing, I do want to say thanks to Pixel 8. He did the intro music and the outro music, or the closing music. So if you want to hear more of his stuff, you can go to soundcloud.com/retropeachy to find that. And I'll also have a link. I always have a link to his stuff in the show notes, but he is he does a lot of 8-bit tunes, 8-bit music, lots of his own stuff and some, cool shows, Murder, She Wrote, stuff like that. So go check out his stuff, man. It's really, really good stuff over there. I wish I could play a lot more of it in the show. If you like the show and you can give us a comment over on iTunes, that would be greatly appreciated. And you can follow us at Throwback Review on Twitter, where I'd be posting what show we're doing next and whatever other stuff I feel like posting, I guess. In the next episode, next week, we will be doing The Burbs with Tom Hanks. Good, funny movie. Steve's never seen it, so that'll be interesting to find out his reaction to this movie. Dora and I have seen it. We have fond memories of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny.
It might be one of those movies that I watch and realize that I've seen before, but I won't know until I watched it because there's some vague familiarity about it, but I don't know yet. We'll find out.
We will find out. That's how I was with Top Secret. So, so Steve, where can people find your stuff?
Head on over to stevecherubino.com. I have some new products coming out. I'm writing a book on podcasting. It's called Shut Up and Podcast. We're going to be doing some Android hacking videos, me and Dor, so hopefully we'll have those out real soon. And anything I'm up to, you can just basically get a link to it from there. So head on over there. That's C-H-E-R-U-B-I-N-O is how you spell my last name.
Very cool. And how about you, Dor?
You can just go to podnuts.com, get all the stuff that I'm in, on, around, involved with. Two super quickies, if I may. If you do not have a iTunes account and you want to rate us, it's really easy. All you have to do is go to the app section and click to purchase a free app, and it will let you create a iTunes A account without a credit card. Thus, after that, you can rate Throwback Reviews. And I want to say a quick thank you to Kevin McLaughlin for helping publicize the fact that this show exists. He's the kind of guy who I can't thank enough for his support in the past, and he's continuing to support, in my opinion, a very good podcast.
We love you, Kevin.
Yes, we do. He gives us a lot of support and podcasts in general, and we do Android App Addicts, the three of us, and we have another co-host, Eric, and we do that every week. Every Thursday, we record Android App Addicts, where we just talk about Android applications, some hacking and tweaking and news, stuff like that. It's just a real good time. So if you have an Android phone, check that out. You can find that at podnuts.com/AAA. Also, I forgot to mention last show, we just got on Stitcher. So you can find us on Stitcher Radio, download or stream that. So that's very cool. And that's about it for me. You can find links to my stuff at sjdiner.com, or you can just go to throwbackreviews.com host. And there's a little something on the host about me and Steve, no door, but not yet. Still waiting for that. But yeah, you can find anything of mine there. So. Until next episode, thanks for listening.
Should I talk dirty to you now?